Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Illini Guy Brad Sturdy and with Kedrick Prince, the Illini Guy's Director of Recruiting. And I'll be honest with you, over the last few weeks and the next few weeks, Ked has gotten a hold of so many recruits and commits. You got to be paying attention to this. We'll be seeing those over the next week. And obviously, if you go backwards, you may have missed some too. So let's talk a little bit. The whole purpose of us being here is the debacle in Evanston. Illinois loses 73-60 to a Northwestern team. And let's talk about this, and I'm going to throw it down, and I'll let Brad and Ked be the voices of reason here. But Illinois' offense is ridiculous. There's, we've got four guys kind of dribbling around the perimeter. The other guy's watching the person who's dribbling. There's not much movement and a lot of thrown up shots at the last second. At the same time, Coach Underwood has to be aghast at what he's seeing on offense. Defensively, the Illini, held Northwestern to a tough shooting night. Not that it really mattered a whole heck of a lot, but Northwestern was only 17 for 53 for a paltry 32%. So the Illini defense was kind of there in the first half, though, when Northwestern got a lead. Illinois they were out offensive rebounded 8-0. Second half, it came back. But in the first half, when, a lot of the damage was done, Illinois wasn't there. At the same time, as you watch this as an Illini fan, the defense wasn't particularly strong. The offense was a mess. You can't be happy with what you've seen. But I'll tell you one thing is, if I was a Big Ten, if I was, the director of officiating, or supervisor of officiating, or if I was Kevin Warren, I would also be saying, as bad as Illinois was tonight, the officials were horrific. You had a free throw disparity of 40-10, and it was two different worlds in terms of how the officiating was done. And so Illinois played poorly, and then they made sure to nail shut the coffin from the officiating standpoint. And probably the only thing I didn't bring up is Illinois doesn't take care of the ball either. So when you're not shooting well, and then you have turnovers, that's bad. Brad, I kind of hit a bunch of top-level things. Not a good night for Illini basketball. Not a good night for Illini fans. About the only good thing, and maybe it's a bad thing, but the only good thing is it's a long season, which offers opportunities to get better, or maybe not.
Well, this was a really poor performance. I mean, and you can say a lot of things. I think you're right. I think the officials were not – you can't have 40-10 free throw disparity. It's just stupid. And I saw some of those came at the end, but it was 10-0 in the first half. Illinois didn't shoot a free throw. Terrence Shannon, who has been averaging 9.3 free throw attempts, he shot two. There's one time he drove down a lane when the game was still – it was like a one-point game at that point. He drives down a lane, he just gets clubbed, just bodied, knocked out, down, and then they come down and hit a three at the other end. It's not right. I mean, and we can all – but that's not why they lost this game. They lost this game because they continue to do what doesn't work. Illinois is currently 215th in the country in three-point shooting, but they are 21st in the country in most three-point attempts. At the same time, Illinois is shooting 57.5% from two-point range. And yet, they keep shooting threes. We can't make them, but we're going to keep shooting them. And generally, they take bad ones. And they don't make good ones when they get it. They turn the ball over too much on offense. That's their big issue. Defensively, they're okay defensively. They're not a great defensive team because they have too many breakdowns. And they foul too much, too. And so when teams think you're going to foul because you foul all the time, then they look for fouls. It's like there was a play at the end. I think Melendez was guarding, was a Bowie or somebody, and he literally just stubbed his toe and fell down.
Yep.
And they called a foul. They called a foul because Illinois probably fouled him 84 times previously, because that's what they do. They foul. The whole point of going away, well, we're not going to switch anymore because we're not, so we can cut out down on our fouling, because they were 12th in the Big Ten in fouls committed coming into tonight. And tonight, obviously, maybe they're 13th now, because they committed 29 fouls in a college basketball game. They had multiple players foul out. It's ridiculous. I mean, and I will guarantee you that there was something said about Sincere Harris to the officials from Northwestern. Northwestern told them before the game that this guy fouls all the time. You can't let him do that. He had two fouls in 24 seconds. Then he comes out and he gets technical. Now, some of that's discipline. That's being a freshman. But some of it is the official, because, you know, that's what they do. That's their job to make this happen. So this is on – Brad Underwood better figure this out. I'm sorry, and I love Brad, and he's done a great job at Illinois, but this is not acceptable basketball. I mean, I remember – this reminds me – so I remember Illinois – you remember back in 03, 04, and I actually compared this earlier, when they had some really bad things happen where they got beat by Providence by 5 million points at Madison Square Garden, and they started off losing to a bad Purdue team at home, and then they lost at Northwestern in a road game 70-60 in Evanston.
Yep.
This is the same type of thing. Now, that team put it all together and they won, like, well, I don't know, 12 of 13, and they ended up getting beat by Wisconsin by 20, actually, a couple weeks later. But they won 12 of 13, including their last 10 in the Big Ten play. And it's just – but I don't know. I guess I didn't feel that team was going to make this turnaround either. But this team just doesn't seem like they're ready to do it. I mean, I don't know who the guy is. I mean, they have so many – they have guys who can score. I mean, you look at Terrence Shannon, everybody's talking about, oh, he had a bad game. Terrence Shannon had 9 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. He only took 8 shots the entire night.
Right.
That's not a terrible line. Matthew Meyer had 17 points and 7 rebounds and 3 blocked shots. I mean, you start looking at those guys, and everybody's complaining about them. There's just not much else, though. There's no R.J. Melendez. Danger is such a liability on defense. At times, they can't keep him on the floor. He does defend the rim and he rebounds, and he can score when he gets the ball in post, but they have a hard time getting him the ball. They have so many guys. The freshmen are just not ready to play. They make so many mistakes. Ty Rogers is virtually unplayable right now. So Coleman Hawkins is just, I don't even know how to describe that. He doesn't make good decisions. He takes bad shots. He passes up good shots. I think he's trying to do something that with the ball. They're running ISOs for him, which I didn't even get. I don't understand what that play call is. But they can run good offense. You saw for about 4 minutes start the second half.
Yes.
And then after that, it was terrible. And so there's this team has a long way to go, and maybe the switch will get flipped immediately, and they're going to have a great game Saturday. But right now, I don't have a lot of confidence that this team can figure it out.
Ked?
Well, I don't want to say the wrong thing, so you two guys fire me. So I don't even know where to begin. I'm gonna be all over the place. This is just one of these podcast fans. Just enjoy the ride on your way home or wherever, because we're just gonna say what we think. I guess I'll start with this. I think the team is soft. I think there are three guys on this team. And I'm not going to sit in same names so somebody can say, guess what Ked said on Eye on the Illini? I'm not doing it, okay? But I will tell you, there are three guys on this team to me that I go to war with. And for all you people out there, stop sending me inbox messages, stop texting me, and stop tweeting me and blaming this on Brad Owen because he's yelling at the kids. You don't like it? So what? Sorry, close your eyeballs. I'm going to tell you, you don't like it. But that is not – this is the same Underwood that you saw to Io and Kofi out when you guys were winning games and you were happy. The same Brad Underwood that you saw beat Texas and UCLA, same guy. It's the same stuff. That is not – because you know why he's frustrated? Because he is the one that's there every day with these guys. And you can only repeat stuff. Everybody parents differently. They all do. But when I tell my kids something 10 times, the 11th time, Simba comes out because I'm not happy. And that's the way Brad is. And if people are thinking that this team is losing games, well, let me ask you. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Was it Brad Underwood yelling that Coleman Hawkins threw the pass 70 feet across half court? Was it Brad Underwood's fault that Dane Danger can't shoot free throws because he yelled at him? Is it Brad Underwood's fault that RJ Melendez allegedly pushed a guy 82 feet away from the basket because he yelled? No! He's frustrated. And you can be, because I'm going to tell you, every time somebody complain about that on the other side, I mean, he is extremely, I think personally, positive to Jay Neff since to his freshman. He really is. I say whatever you want, because there were times when I knew I would have probably threw some hiney out. He pat him on the chest and keep going. That's not why they lost. They're losing games because, one, they don't have any confidence. And everybody in the world thinks that, you know, the game is bigger than what it really is. It's not. They don't make shots. You know, this is the same team that beat Texas and UCLA, but when you're making shots, all your mistakes are small. It's not that big of a deal. It's not. When you're playing Bethune-Cookman and you make everything, when you don't guard somebody, it's not that big of a deal, or if you make a mistake. Okay? I'll give you an example. I will use this kid because he's a senior. Matthew Meyer, to me, has been shooting the ball well. But for a 45-year-old senior, Northwestern plays up the line. They play the passing lanes extremely well. You can't float passes just like you're playing against a YMCA team. It doesn't work. And he did it the whole game. So you take the good with the bad with him. Now, the one negative I will say, and I'm an X's and O's guy, I don't know what the hell they're on offense. I just don't. What I don't like to see is a bunch of guys dribble weave and then go one-on-one and try to shoot a desperation three. Because as Brad just mentioned, those desperation threes aren't any good, and it doesn't help them out at all. It just doesn't. I mean, I don't want to see that anymore. When I watch Northwestern, they run a bunch of misdirections. They run the same sets, but they give you misdirections because that way you can't overplay if they want to run the same thing second and third time. I don't know what the answer is to them. I know Brad has tried. I tell you what I would do. I would continue to press. That I would continue to do. That is part of their ammo, because the fouls, they're going to foul anyway. But it's frustrating. I'm not giving up on the team. I think when they make shots, and they're going to make shots again. They just are. And then people are going to have amnesia, and they're going to forget about it. But this lack of offense and guys not being able to create shots and run an offense, I'll give Brad Sturdy and credit. You know, we talked about out-of-bounds plays, Mike, a couple of times in the first half. Every time Underwood called a timeout, they did get a bucket out of it. RJ got a reverse layup out of it one time. That's when they run it. Last comment. I don't think the start of the second half they ran good offense. They just made shots. They made a few shots, and we all got excited.
But they shared the ball, though. They did share the ball, and they got some drives. I know, but they got some drives that created open shots, you know.
How many open shots did RJ Melendez get that he didn't make? How many did Sky Clark get? Those were open looks, and good teams make those shots.
Ked, that's what I've been saying, though, the whole season, right? How many times have I talked in this podcast? This team just doesn't appear to be good shooters.
They're not. And we can pretend that they are. They're not. Here, I'll tell you this. Coleman Hawkins and Dame Danger, they don't shoot the same ever. I've said this before. I'm sitting here watching the game. I didn't go to the game. And with my daughter, and I'm like, that's going in. Because you can see Coleman's extension, his release. Dame Danger, the first free throw, as soon as he shot at brick, I'm like, it's not going in. The next time he shoots it differently. How in the hell can you be 21 years old or 22 years old and not know these things? I don't understand it, because I'm sitting here watching it. The three that he made in the first half, Coleman Hawkins, the release looked good. Even the ones he missed looked good. But then he reversed back to the same thing. And the people think I'm lying. A coach said that to me, too, on the staff. So it's not just Kedrick. There's my rant.
Yeah, and look, you know, it's a frustrating thing, because the offense just looks broke.
Awful. Awful.
And I'm like you. It looks like a three-man weave until somebody goes, well, dang it, I haven't shot in a while. And then they take off and we see what happens. Brad, the question I have for you is, there's several times that Coleman Hawkins was out 23 feet from the court, you know, with Boo Booey on him. I mean, isn't there some sort of like something that would trigger him to say, hey, maybe I should go post up really fast and see if I can use my, you know, 10-inch height advantage and my athletic advantage to flush a couple down and at least force Northwestern to do something a little different.
I know you asked Brad that. He yep. doesn't have a go-to move. When have you seen Coleman Hawkins just get in the post and punish somebody?
Well, I mean, a six-footer, kid. I'm not talking about yes. another post.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I, Mike, I'm agreeing with you. There was a game, I remember a couple games ago that they played, and I'm thinking, no, you know what? It was Missouri. You get a guy that's 6'4", and you, I mean, get him on the block and punish him.
Yeah.
But it's not his game, Mike. I mean, sorry, I know you asked that to Brad. Yeah. I would love to see him get on the block and somebody who's smaller than him punish them instead of passing it out. But he doesn't have a go-to move in the post. He's 6'10". Great. He's not a post player, but a damn it, at 6'10", you got to have something down there.
Drop step, yeah. and a dunk. I'll bet you Brad could teach that in 5 minutes.
Or even attempt to get a dunk, and he might get a foul. But we don't shoot free throws well. Sorry, Brad.
Yeah, one would think that would be a good play, but here's what I can't figure out. So, I'm not trying to bag on the kid at all. Coleman Hawkins has not played well of late. He hasn't played well really this entire, you know, since maybe the Syracuse game. In conference play, he's been downright bad. He's shooting, you know, 28% from three, 45% from two. And he's had, in conference play, Coleman Hawkins has shot a free throw. He missed the front end of 1-1 tonight. That's it. I mean, I don't get it. And yet he plays 36 minutes tonight. So where's your accountability? Where's your accountability for turning it over at a high rate? Where's your accountability? There's no accountability. They just keep playing him because they trust him. I mean, here's the thing. Ty Rogers looks unplayable. He's terrible, playing terrible right now. But what could he do worse? I mean, would he turn it over? Okay. Would he foul? Okay. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't understand the idea. I know that they said before the game they needed to wear Northwestern down. And, you know, and that was a chance because they have, you know, Northwestern basically plays like six guys.
Well, they wore them down, Brad, at the free throw line. Those guys, those arms are going to be tired tomorrow.
Yeah, they did. I mean, yeah, I guess that's a lot. My elbow would hurt from shooting that many free throws, I suppose. But no, I don't get it. Like, right now, I think Illinois staff is struggling to figure out what to do with these guys. You know, you have, you know, and I'm not your guys, you know, your young guys here, as bad as Coleman was, your young guys were terrible tonight. I mean, in, you know, Harris, Melendez, Epps, Clark, and Rogers were just downright bad. You know, and we can say that Epps had some points, but again, he's 1 of 5 from three. He, you know, he turns it over, he gets charges, he commits 5 fouls. He, you know, there are, you know, they don't have anybody, you know, their creators tonight were Shannon and, yeah, that's it. So, you know, that was it. I mean, he had 7 assists. I mean, so I don't know. I'm not sold. They need to figure this out. I'm not sold. I think maybe play Hawkins less. You know, RJ Melendez, he really can't dribble. I mean, he was a guy that was expected to have a breakout year. He's part of the reason that expectations were high for this team. And he's been awful. I mean, you know, now in conference Big Ten play coming into this one, he wasn't bad, but he, you know, limited sample size, but he's been brutal. And I don't know why. I can't tell you. You know, can say it's his shoulder or whatever, but I don't think that's it. He struggles to dribble. He struggles to take anybody off the bounce. And he was supposed to, you know, he's just an athletic kid. He should be able to do that. I think, you know, if you're going to rely on, you know, Sincere Harris as your point guard, you know, you're not going to win in the Big Ten. I'm not trying to be mean to the kid. I love Sincere, but I think in his role, it was to play those minutes, but he needs to come off the bench, bring energy. They can't forget about him. But I think when he started, you see that what happens. I mean, he comes in, he's got that energy to start the game. They're calling things right at the beginning of the game. And he's got 2 fouls before he can even see what happened. And then they're looking for him and things like that. I'm just not really sold that they can play this way. And again, everybody bags on Shannon and Meyer. I'm okay with those guys. They do what they do. They're the kind of players. They are the same players they've been for 4 years. The problem is you got to get more out of somebody else besides Shannon Meyer and really Danger and everybody else. You know, we can talk about Coleman's numbers, but you know, he turns it over at an extremely high rate right now. Takes a lot of bad shots, 4 of 11 shooting tonight. Just, I don't know. I'm pretty down on this squad right now. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it was very interesting to me. Whenever Shannon drove with the left hand, you would see weak side guy come up to be basically he's coming up to take the charge, forcing, you know, yes. I mean, forcing Shannon, if he's going with his left, he almost has to dish either to the corner or the wing. And he got open shots for guys. It's just that we don't really have anybody that you can depend on to knock it down. You know, I think that's probably where teams are like, wait a minute. Usually if you go over, you know, you put that help there, you give up something. And right now.
Hey, I have a question. When's the last time you saw Illinois set a screen off the basketball to get a guy open?
A what? I mean, what?
A screen away from the. I mean, seriously, yeah. You watch Northwestern running though. These guys. They run Adige off the off a Barron's yes. screen and they slip it and dive after the screen comes. They don't do any of that. There's
you
no
can see
screen
it developing. The ball. You can sit there and see what you're saying, by the, but we don't. Illinois doesn't do that. They never do that. It's always screen the ball, pick and roll. If it doesn't work, then it's one-on-one isolation. And for all you people out there, as much as I love Luke Goody because that's my fishing homie, he's not going to win you 10 basketball games. I'm really sorry. He's not going to come in and be the savior. Everybody's asking, when is he coming back? When is he coming back? Yes, he'll help. But if you think this guy who has not played, he's played just as much as RJ Melendez or maybe a little bit more last year, he's not going to be the answer. Their answer is what they're doing on offense. And if they got to get shots, if they don't want to shoot threes, then damn, you better run some offensive sets and turn this team into a bunch of things where you can get baskets where they don't have to chuck up shots. Because if they're going to just rely on threes, and they're going to beat people shooting something because they're going to catch fire again. They're going to catch fire and beat people shooting threes, and then everybody's going to have amnesia, like I mentioned. But that's not a recipe for long term.
But how do you – I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, if we're trying to get the ball, why can't you screen Dane Danger into the post? Why can't you run – why can't you run Jaden Epps off a screen off the ball? He catches it on the move, and then you got a guy who's really good at scoring the ball in that mid-range, the floaters. Put him in that situation. Why can't we run – get Terrence Shannon coming off a screen so that he can maybe curl it and turn the corner. What I mean, I just feel like there's so much out there for them to do that they don't do. And they're not working with, you know, sometimes I was, you know, I watched girls basketball in high school and you don't have a bunch of people who can't dribble or like at that level or can't shoot a shot. And they, I mean, you got guys who are basketball players. Let him create, use them in these situations. I'm just, it's very disappointing to see what they're doing on offense. And then I think when they miss shots, then they don't guard the same way. They try and make miraculous steals so they can get out and transition. That's the one thing I would say defensively. Matthew Meyer gets caught out of position a lot because he's going for a steal.
Yep.
I mean, they do that and they go for a steal because I think they're trying to create offense from their defense because they know their offense sucks. They have got to do a better job of running some different actions. I mean, and they ran some spread actions tonight, but, you know, the spread still requires people to execute, to pass, to cut hard. And it doesn't matter what – there's no magic offense, but you have to put guys in position to succeed, and they have to execute whatever it is. And by the way, evidently, you know, everybody's talking about, well, they went away from the switching. Now they'll play defense. Well, here's the thing. They fouled more times tonight than they ever did when they were switching.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes, they did.
Ken, you mentioned the guys being soft. How many guys got caught on a screen and fell down tonight?
Oh, that's what I mean. And okay, and the one guy
who
doesn't, because they're looking for fouls instead of playing defense, being a man. The one guy on the team who I think who has a you know what is sincere. That kid is I was talking to a recruit's parent today, okay, and I'm not going to mention the name. I'll tell you guys off the air. Here's what he said to me. Illinois is not Brad Underwood. Brad's a tough guy, but Brad doesn't have his guys. This parent said to me, Ketter, do you remember a few years ago when Matt Painter was upset and everybody wanted Matt Painter fired? Everybody was upset because Matt Painter was recruiting a bunch of guys because they were the guys. You have to get guys that fit your demeanor. And to me, they have 2.5 or 3 guys that has his demeanor. The rest of those guys don't have it. You cannot allow people to screen you. You cannot allow people to block you out and you don't fight back for it. You know, if the team is talking trash, say, you know what? I know you guys saw, since you got the technical foul. Northwestern had a guy talking trash. He didn't get caught. If you're going to talk the talk and talk shit like that, you got to back it up, because they're not. You don't do that when you're down by 20 points and you can't score. They need tougher guys mentally. The body language, sorry, RJ Melendez, is just, it's embarrassing and it's contagious. I don't want to hear about some team meeting. I don't want to hear them talk about going to the bowling alley or going to Pizza Hut with the team. I don't want to hear them say that. I want this team to take ownership and play with some heart. The fans are not used to this. I'm going to tell you, I'm certainly not used to it. And I know Brad is frustrated, and I know the coaches are too, Brad, because you're right. You can clearly see it. They just do stupid things at stupid times. The passes, the getting beat back door. I mean, you've been playing basketball, probably most of these kids since they were in fifth and sixth grade, all summer long, and all these kids have played on the circuit. Every one of them. How can you still make the same mistakes and you go over it in practice? What Brad Underwood, in my opinion, can't do, you can't throw in the towel and throw the panic button, because that's a bad look. But I'm going to tell you this personally, the kids aren't going to do what I ask them to do. They're just not going to play. I wouldn't play them. I don't care what your NIL money is. I don't care what star rating you're from or what state you're from. If you're not going to do what I ask, at least do it and lose with people who you know are going to lay it on the line. That softness, to me, I'm not a fan of. These kids have some of them have no fight and will to win. And I understand why the fans are frustrated, because they're out there competing and they want to see them win as much as they do sometimes. And I'll end with this comment. Brad, you're right. It's not fair to people to get mad at Terrence Shannon and to get mad at Matthew, because they are producing. And if I was Terrence Shannon tonight, I would have probably been thrown out. He got fouled a million times, and then they're talking trash to him the whole time. I mean, I don't know if his mother, his father listened to this podcast, but I'm going to tell you, it's a hell of a young man, because if it was me, I'd have had one of my kids lay one of those kids out, because they treated him like crap the whole game, and he never, ever showed any emotion. And I can respect guys like that. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Brad?
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with what he just said. What Ked just said. Terrence Shannon guards. He plays his, I'm not. I don't know what that. It was like one of those things tonight. People are banging on him. It is 9.7 assists. They try to take things away that he does well, and so what he but what he did was, you know, he found other guys. Right. And I just don't. And so I don't know. I'm not bagging on him at all. I just feel like this is a team. I feel like this is the island of misfit toys. I mean, they're like the toys. I mean, there's nothing wrong with these toys. If Illinois lined up, I'll tell you right now, if you take Illinois and you say, all right, we're going to play one-on-one against the guy on the other team. Tonight, Chase Audiz is a great one-on-one player. And he made some tough shots. And he does things. Illinois would win every other matchup. Every other matchup one-on-one. And that's true of virtually every game they play. Like, yeah, maybe Kobe Brown would have beat them against Missouri. Illinois would have beat everybody other guy on the floor one-on-one. The problem is they can't play as a group. You don't play a one-on-one basketball game. And their five-on-five is brutal right now. They've got to figure out how to turn their one-on-ones into five-on-fives and being successful.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's there's a lot of things they have to do, and I think the scary thing to me is you know, Meyer wasn't here until the end of the summer, but I would have hoped, I guess, that this lack of offense would have been addressed sooner, would have been noticed and addressed sooner, and maybe it's because there aren't enough dogs in practice to put the pressure on to make it come out. I don't know, but. this is a team that you can't give up because there's a lot of the season yet left. And Brad gave you a couple of examples of Illini teams that have turned it around. Right now there's no alpha dog that's going to kind of be the leader out there. And if you don't have an alpha dog leader, you at least need like the Jeff George leader by example. You know, he wasn't a great leader, so to speak, but he'd go out there and throw for 3,000 yards and carry a team. And I guess if you're not going to have somebody who leads, you're going to have somebody who goes out night after night and figures out how they're going to get 20 points and get the rest of the team involved. Ked, your final thoughts on this frustrating evening for Illini fans?
Dear Kofi, this is Kedrick Prince. I'm really sorry that you left me. I'm just kidding. They could use Big Fella tonight because the free throw problems would have been eliminated. I think Illinois, I know a lot of people they don't like the fact that Dane Danger comes out. I don't either. At this point, they need to score. I give up a couple of his points because he will block shots and he will rebound. I mean, you're not going to get a perfect defensive player, but he brings a lot to the table. I just would like to see him play more. I really and truly want to see him play more. And I give a lot of I give the freshmen credit. This is a learning experience for them. It's a, you know, and I give Underwood credit. He is really good with them. He gets mad. He's an old school coach, and you knew that coming into it. He's very respectful to them because he's trying to teach them. I know they're frustrated too. And so the fans out there who think that these kids don't care, yes, and, you know, they care. You don't think they're upset about this, losing to Northwestern and to a bad Northwestern team, I think, who can't score. You made them look good. The sun's going to come up, but I'm going to tell you, and you heard it here first, they're going to beat some people. This is just a bad look because they're not making shots, but they're going to figure it out. But I will say long-term, overall, the offense has to give them different looks. Like you said, Brad said, I went to a coaching clinic once and I know fans may not like this, but with Bruce Weber, and it was in Peoria. And one of the things he talked about is what Brad Sturdy just mentioned. Good teams set screens for other players to score, you know, if that makes any sense. So if the ball's on the right side of the court, are you setting a down screen? Are you setting a back screen so your teammate can score, not just the ball? I don't see that. And I think they're really, really missing that. If you look at all the other good teams who can score, they'll screen across from block to block for a teammate. You don't ever see that with this group, ever, regardless of who it is. It's either, like we mentioned, a dribble weave, high ball screen, and then look to create. And it's tough to create because you don't have IO. Scott Clark, I think, is good. He's just not a good shooter. I like everything about his game, but he's not a good shooter. And until he becomes a good shooter, he's going to be a liability. Jaden Epps isn't as strong. But those are things that I really will hope that they can fix here real soon. And for the fans who want to jump off the bandwagon, think about how you felt when they beat UCLA in Texas. This is the same team because they're going to win again, but they've dug themselves a hole.
Brad, you're going to give you the final word here tonight.
Yeah. I agree with Ked on Dane Danger. I'll say that he did get 24 minutes tonight. I'm not sure how much more he can play right now. I'm not sure he could play more than 27 anyway. And then they were down at the end. So I think you're probably seeing about the max you're going to get out of him from a conditioning standpoint and his ability. I mean, big guys just don't play. You know, Kofi was kind of a rare breed that played more minutes than that. But yeah, I think, you know, they got to use him too. He's got to get some touches. You know what I mean? They got to find a way to get paint touches. And you mentioned setting screens off the ball, and they don't screen to get others open, which usually gets yourself open. You know, if you've got a guy who can really shoot, you know, he sets a screen, it's hard to help off it, you know, because then that guy, he gets somebody else open, and then they can't leave him open because he can shoot. And I would love to see them do some of these things. And there's not very, you know, and I will say this, I thought their actions on offense when they had IO and even when they had Kofi last year, they worked so hard to get him the ball in the paint.
Yep.
I don't see them doing those things now running, you know, and maybe it's because they're young and they don't get it. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I don't see the same creative actions to get post entries, to get guys coming off screens in the right position on the floor, which is something, you know, they want to do. I mean, Iowa's always, you know, he can't go left, so we make him go right. Okay, well, Illinois ran actions to get in the ball. Well, if it's Terrence Shannon, then run actions to get him going left. I don't understand. I don't really understand what they're – and I think this is the problem with the offense. Nobody knows what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they do, and I'm not sure the players do. So I think that's where we're at right now. I see a lot of isolation plays, which are not effective when you don't, you know, when you don't have guys who are, you know, with against the help defense you have. And then when you do sling it across court, the guy misses the wide open shot.
Yep.
So they better figure it out, because Wisconsin doesn't really care if Illinois is struggling.
Yeah. So with that, folks, Wisconsin, Illinois on Saturday will be a good game. Obviously, we'll be here to cover it. Thank you so much, and go Illini.